It has been a turbulent week. Setbacks in Iraq, highly publicized testimony at the 9/11 Commission, even a primetime television news conference in which President Bush acknowledged as much.
There's no question it's been a tough series of weeks for the American people. It's been really tough for the families. I understand that. It's been tough on this administration. But we're doing the right thing.
In such turbulent times in Washington, we figure the right thing to do is to call in our guest political observers, David Brooks of the New York Times, and the triple threat E.J. Dionne of the Brookings Institution, Georgetown University, and the Washington Post. Welcome to both of you once again.
Thank you.
Let's begin with Iraq. The president resists any comparison to the war in Vietnam. Justice Secretary Rumsfeld has for a year mocked use of what he calls the Q word, quagmire. Is it clear to both of you that the administration has a grip on its Iraq policy and that the American people believe they have a grip on it? David?
Well, the crucial question is something the president didn't address last night, which, as we know, there are 10% of the people who will follow Sadr and who are really not for democracy. But then there are 90% of the people in Iraq who want democracy or say they want something called democracy, don't particularly like us. What is the dynamic among that 90%? The president didn't really answer that. I don't think it's possible to answer that. That's the fundamental dynamic here at work. And somehow those 90% are either going to say, we so hate the U.S. occupation that we're willing to spoil our own nest, or they're going to say, we don't like the Americans here, but fundamentally we can't destroy our own country.
E.J. Dionne, what do you think about Iraq, the administration, and the American people?
If you believe that Bush did the right thing from the beginning, then you probably cheered that he says, let's keep doing what we're doing. I think the problem with what he did last night, and David alluded to it, is I think an awful lot of Americans want to say, well, what are you going to do now? This has not been a good week. The president put out a series of dates for when things would happen. He didn't say, what are we going to do? How are we going to get there? And I think that it's not just pictures on television. It's a fundamental sense of whether the strategy we pursued from the beginning is flawed, whether we had enough troops there at the very beginning to keep the peace, to build an alternative. I think the president has a lot to answer for here, and I don't think he answered it. He did a very interesting political thing last night. He said that the analogy to Vietnam sends the wrong message to our troops and sends the wrong message to the enemy. That sure sounded like he was preparing to say, anybody who questions my policies, what we are doing there is somehow giving aid and comfort to the enemy. I don't think that's what he needs to do right now. That's a very partisan message. I think if he wants to pull this out, he's got to turn to other people. And the last thing is, what was striking is, in the substantive moments of the speech, it sounded like John Kerry sort of snuck into the White House speech office because he talked about the importance of the UN and the importance of NATO, which is exactly what John Kerry has been talking about.
Let's move on to the other big story that we've been covering in Washington, and that's the hearings of the 9/11 Commission. EJ, we've heard from Richard Clark, we've heard from Condoleezza Rice, we've heard from Louis Free, from Janet Reno, from John Ashcroft. What picture do you see emerging from the work of the 9/11 Commission? Do you think it's important to people? Do you think it's going to figure in this election season?
I think it's important to people both for what happened before and what we can do now. I think the picture that at least I get out of this is that if our government had been operating properly, we had a really good shot of stopping 9/11. I think a majority of the commissioners at one point or another have said that. And that's why I am astonished that President Bush can't find it in himself to say, at the very least, forget an apology, just to say, look, I was the commander in chief. It's my job to protect the country. I would have done things differently. Instead, he refused to answer that last night. And it was very striking when one reporter asked him, when you saw that famous PDB, the Presidential Daily Brief, that day, did you do anything? And he gave a long answer, which amounted to no. President Bush is hanging his hat in this election on what he's done since 9/11. I can't understand why a person who speaks of the importance of a culture of responsibility doesn't take responsibility for what happened before.
David Brooks, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's going to be an important political issue in the fall. If you look at the polls of what people are paying close attention to, Iraq has moved up to basically number one. Very few people are following the 9/11 Commission hearings, and it doesn't seem to register too much on the polls. When you ask the American people, who do you blame, the Clinton or Bush administration, they tend to blame them both equally. I think the general view of the American people is one I share, which is that We weren't on a war footing. We weren't prepared. We have systematic problems in the deluge of things both administrations had to deal with. Neither paid sufficient attention to Al-Qaeda, but it would have taken heroic action to prevent 9/11. Even Richard Clark acknowledged that. And that, you know, they made mistakes, but it was not a fundamental dereliction, which they're not going to blame people for.
You're saying something different from what EJ said. You're saying it would have taken, and you think most people think it would have taken heroic action to prevent 9/11, as opposed to the idea that if the FBI and the CIA had communicated like two well-run organizations playing on the same team, they would have found the two guys who were already in the country, and they would have noticed that visas were here.
And if the president had shown leadership from the top. I can say that children should clean up their room, but I got to keep telling it to them. The federal bureaucracy moves very slowly, and I think it's very important that a president send a signal. Now, blaming Bush for 9/11 is wrong. It's Osama bin Laden who did it. Could he have shaken the bureaucracy? The answer is yes. And I think he could say that without admitting any sort of evil doing, just to say, I'm the leader, I take responsibility.
Now, David.
If the FBI and CIA worked perfectly together, if they were sort of super efficient bureaucracies, maybe they would have connected all the various dots that were sitting out there. If the people in the administration, either the Clinton or the Bush administration, were superhuman, they would have picked out the one or two memos out of the zillions of memos they saw every day, and they would have taken more forceful action. The fact is, it's very easy from this point of view to go back and pick out the memo that seems to anticipate 9/11 in some vague way. And then say they should have paid more attention to that if we ignore the millions of other memos that were crossing their desk every day. You know, as I say, mistakes were made, but the fact that this is going to be a voting issue or there was some scandal here is ridiculous.
Well, thanks to both of you for talking with us once again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times.